Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. It's Teresa Morrow, host of Inspiration Nation. Sorry for the pause there, but I was waiting for the intro that didn't appear to work this morning, but that's okay. It's a new year, and we'll just go with the flow. So happy New Year, everybody. New Year of 2015. And I'm excited to have my first guest, Elizabeth, with me, Guarino, and we're going to be talking about her book, Percolate. Welcome, welcome, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, it was funny because I just told her, I said, well, you know, we're going to have a little intro in there. But it didn't seem to work, so we'll have to figure that one out, but that's okay.
It happens to me all the time. It happens to me all the time. Oh, yeah, I had Ed Asner on and the intro wouldn't play. I'm sitting there going, oh, no, it's all good.
Yes, that's right. We'll be talking a little bit more about sending from your book that just rang through my head again as that happened. So, I want to start, you know, with this book and how it kind of came to be for you, because it was a very interesting story that you share in the preface and actually throughout the book a little bit about your journey. So I'd love to have you share that with the listeners.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, the book's called Percolate, Let Your Best Self Filter Through, and it was just released in April by Hay House, which is really exciting. And
hey.
Yeah, exactly. Yay! Hay House, thank you to everybody at Hay House. We all worked really hard on getting this book out the door and then, you know, continuing to have it keep life and momentum and as it spreads throughout the world. Somebody in Botswana emailed me a picture of them with the book the other day. But anyway, it's cool how it's growing, and that's exactly how I started it too. I had some health issues of my own with food allergies. And I kind of began percolating then, but really it wasn't until my father was in a rehab facility from having had a series of strokes and brain surgeries and so forth that I really, in a moment, like stopped completely feeling sorry for myself and angry and all these things. And he had an inspirational moment, and I wrote Percolate ABCs of Life in a journal, and I kind of started really writing from there.
Isn't that amazing how you know, incidences and experiences that we have in our life can trigger inspiration for ourselves and for others?
Oh, I think we all learn by sharing our stories, and I think we all learn from each other's mistakes and successes. I think it's really important that we share both, because otherwise you live in this zone of thinking everybody's always got it better than you, and you block your gratitude when you're starting to compare yourself, and you know all those things fall into place. And it's kind of nice to understand that people are just like you with their challenges and successes.
Yeah, that's
everybody.
True. Right, absolutely. And I mean that's life. I mean, and like you said, you brought up an important point that I want to share with the listeners about, you know, sharing your stories. And we all do have successes, and we all do have, you know, things that we, trials and tribulations, and we make mistakes, and sometimes we do tend to compare ourselves to others of how someone else may have it, quote, better than we do, or be more, quote, successful. But I always like to remind, and I have to remind myself of this as well, that we are our own individual person. And that's what we need to let shine. Like you talk about letting your best self filter through, that's in that same alignment, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think we also tend to, you know, I know a lot of people, they put up a front like nothing's ever wrong, and they only show the good things. And, you know, I think it's important to know, like, if someone doesn't feel good on a daily basis because they're suffering from depression or anxiety or something, because then you're at least aware. and person or understand why that person isn't on Facebook today. They don't feel well or whatever. Like we have somebody in our Best Ever You community, Jean Williams, who suffers from autism. And I met her when I was down in Florida with my son playing baseball, and we met at McDonald's and just did a high five real quick and gave each other a hug and took a picture. But she's very vocal that she is autistic. And she's very vocal when you meet her, too. She's like, I know I have issues. I'm autistic and all these things. And I'm so proud of her for saying that out loud because it gives other people hope.
Right. To live out loud, to say who you are. Yeah, and what you're dealing with. That is absolutely so true. That is good because we do need to, you know, be out there to who we are and authentic. I like that a lot. One of the things that you say in your preface, and I mentioned the preface beforehand about you sharing your story, but one of the sayings and the quotes that you have, and you have many of them throughout the book, but one that really stuck to me right away was this one, and we talked a little bit about this, was be grateful and reflect on the moments. You say moments matter. What makes moments matter to you?
What makes moments matter to me and to those around me, why I say that is because I don't think you can get your moments back. You know, we live our moments forward, we don't live them back. And you'll hear a lot of people say the past is the past and this is that, and it's sort of true. You know, you are where you are right now because of your past, but your moments each matter. I think it'd be so neat to be able to capture that concept and tell it more widely to young people.
Oh, yeah.
And make them more aware at a young age. I'm not sure they'd listen, but I think it'd be so neat if we had a generation. I think we kind of do, actually, because I was at a Hay House conference, and there were so many young people in the audience. It was awesome. But your moments matter, and you just you don't unring bells, and you're not really guaranteed another breath. Death is definitely not picky or choosy, and it happens to all of us at some point. And I don't think it's something that we're necessarily in control of. So I think it's very important to live those moments as best you can. Especially aware.
I totally
aware.
Agree. Yeah, and be aware. Yeah, that's true. And when things happen to us, tragedy or sadness or, you know, grief or whatever happen to us, those experiences, I think kind of remind us of that. But it doesn't have to be that. Like you say,
exactly.
You know, moments can matter in the happy, too.
Huge point right there, yeah. Because, you know, if you're aware and aware of your moments, you know that in every moment of every day, you have a choice to make it the best it can be. And living those moments fully with fulfilling your passions and dreams and goals and being very aware matters, I think, especially following your heart.
Yeah, absolutely. And you had touched on something about, you know, this generation. I have a 17-year-old, and I know you have teenagers as well. I think in a way they live very fast lives, but I do think you're right. I think that this generation is kind of getting that. It's kind of one way or the other, but I do see it in my daughter as well, that sometimes she can really be very philosophical and really think in a moment, whereas I don't know if I did it when I was younger as much as she does.
Kudos to you, Mom, because, you know, they probably are following your lead and example, and I know, you know, my kids have been not completely raised with Best Ever You, but a fair shake of their life has been raised with Best Ever You, and I'm on Facebook and mostly to torture them, but just kidding. But all right, good morning from Maine, hashtag gratitude. And, you know, go downstairs for breakfast and everybody, and one of them will go hashtag gratitude, you know, like that. And you know it's, you know, sinking in somehow. Even in little ways. So, yeah, teenagers are interesting, and they're also on other things other than Facebook, like Instagram and Pinterest and things like that. And what's nice about some of those social media formats is people post a lot of quotes. They post a lot of other mm-hmm. things, but they post a lot of quotes and inspirational things. So I think we have vehicles now to disseminate the information to the youth, and they can follow it and read it and so forth. It's kind of cool because you definitely can reach that crowd with the right tool.
That's true. Yeah, my daughter likes Instagram and Pinterest as well. And you were talking about quotes and stuff. That's true. Something like little sound bites, you know, little bites of information. They really do like Twitter. You know, that became such a big phenomenon, I think, because of that too. And I think stuff like that in those small bites do help and do reach that audience. I want to talk about the section in your book called Let's Stir Things Up. You bring up a valid question, I think. You talk about how do you implement the changes you desire despite challenges? Then you bring up the following questions. What are your values? What are your beliefs? And how do these, for me, I wanted to ask you, how do these questions allow us to percolate better?
Okay. Well, I think with any change you make in your life or as you're leading your life, it doesn't even have to be anything, you know, where you go, I'm going to change that. I think your life is made up of your values and your goals and your belief system and your behavior. And I sometimes will ask people, is your behavior in line with your values, goals, and beliefs? Mm-hmm. So I'll just give an example. For me, I'm not a drinker, I'm not a smoker, I don't do drugs, and I barely take prescription drugs. So my behavior wouldn't be to go out to a bar or something like that and drink.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've kind of set those as things for myself. And I think once you set your values, goals, and beliefs, it becomes easier to make change. Hopefully that's making sense. It becomes so. In other words, if one of your values and goals is to, let's say, be well, just well-being, for example. And I work on. I think I don't know of a person that doesn't work on this all the time. Your well-being. Let's just take that one. It's your value, goal, your belief, and your behavior to be as well as you can be, right?
Mm-hmm.
To match our behavior and everything to go with that. So that doesn't mean I'm going to eat a bunch of processed food and, you know, all those things that go with that. So I don't know, I'm kind of off a little bit, but does that make sense? Just to make sure that your behavior matches your goals, because in order to make those changes, which I love to make little changes that kind of accumulate and have a larger wave, you've really got to take a really strong look at yourself from the get-go and make sure your behaviors and actions are in line with giving yourself permission to take that new steps, you know, to take those steps and directions to grow and change. That's okay. It's complicated, kind of, because you've really got to stop, pause, and think about yourself and what matters to you.
Yeah,
because I think without
you
without that, you're kind of wandering through life. Whereas if you stop, pause, and put some things in place, you know, whether it's church or whether, you know, whatever it is, it could be a book, church, whatever it is that resonates with you to kind of get those values and beliefs and goals in line with your behavior, I believe you have more success through life being aware and making changes and maneuvering through changes.
As you were talking, I was thinking about, it reminds me of like parameters for the goal that you're setting. And if you want to reach that goal, you kind of align it. You talked about alignment. And so by asking yourself those questions, you allow yourself to create a path to get to that goal.
Yeah, but so like if your goal is well-being and you're on the couch with, you know, a bag of chips, you're not going to achieve your goal. So you've got to set your behavior in line with what you're trying to do. It's hard too. It's not all that easy to quit drinking or quit smoking or, you know, quit eating chips or whatever it is that you're thinking about change. I'm just using some of the bigger ones. And so then kicks into play your motivation. What's your motivation? Why why do you want to be well? Why do you want to do that? And so it takes some questions to yourself. And you kind of got to keep asking them to yourself until you reach some answers. They're not easy questions. They're not ones that just have answers sometimes. You got to think about
it. And you have to think about it, but you also have to really contemplate, like you say, and you have to take a step back and really kind of dig deeper to make that happen.
Yeah, and in some cases you were mentioning, like, if you have a challenge, how do you go forward? And sometimes you have to dig really deep.
Absolutely. Yeah, to just really sink your teeth into it. And, I mean, what comes to my mind when I think about goals, of course, is as a writer, you know, writing my next book, and I thought, you know what? So it is taking that time to
write.
To write, but to mentally think of, okay, so I want to write my next book. What is it going to take to do that? I mean, and that's kind of like the surface. Well, of course, I need to sit down and write. But then to sit down and say, okay, if it's that important to me to reach that goal, when I get to a place where I'm like, doggone it, I didn't write yesterday. Okay, well then, why didn't you? Why is that not of value to you? Why did you not, you know, do that? What can you change? What are the parameters that you can create to get you to sit down and write a little bit? What are those things that you can do? So I think that's a very valid strategy and timeline and just journey that you can take for yourself. Even, you know, as we're talking, I was like, okay,
Well, you bring up a great point, and I think you can take what you just said and apply it to just about anything. Let's say you want to lose 30 pounds. Well, you've got to set the time aside to exercise. Because everybody knows that in order to lose weight, you've got to burn calories. You know, you've got to move more than you eat to get weight off. And so people struggle with that. Well, I can't find the time in my day to exercise. So they do dramatic things like not eat or something like that and lower their calories so much. And that's not healthy. And so one of the things that you just mentioned when you were talking about writing was kind of the beat yourself up cycle that we do when we know we want to do something and then we don't do it. It's like, oh, that's frustrating. And I get you, because, you know, I've had goals where, like, I'm going to write every day, and then you miss Thursday and Friday and you're like, oh, and it's okay. Just pick up. Yeah, you got to kind of dust yourself off and go, okay, we'll start again Saturday or Monday or whatever. And and I think that's the point at which those are those moments, again, that matter, where you have a choice to stop or you continue and give yourself a break and keep going.
Right. And that's another thing you talk about in your book, Percolate, is giving yourself a break, but also, like, honoring yourself. I mean, this all kind of flows together, which is one of the things I loved about the book. It's kind of a full mind, body, spirit type of approach with like you say, percolating, so you let your best self filter through and come to that surface and shine your light to the world, because you've taken the time to really evaluate what's important to you, what do you want to do, and take that journey, like we were talking about a little bit, and making those steps, making those changes. But at the same time, being gentle with yourself and not feeling guilty, but giving yourself that break as well.
Or even maybe adding a sense of humor. Yeah, the book takes the book takes the reader through 9 points. And what I think is most important to communicate about the book is it's not one of those books where you go, okay, I'm going to do all these 9 steps, bing, bang, boom, in a row and be done with this. It's more, the book is more of like a lifestyle that you lead. And I think we percolate in and out of all of the points all of the time, depending on what's happening. And so one of the things that I like to teach people is to frame and keep reframing your life from moment to moment or year to year or whatever, because we aren't the same person even, you know, from minute to minute. We're changing constantly. In fact, unfortunately, we're aging. Wish I could stop that, but I don't want to. I'm good with aging. But you know, it's really important to maneuver with the moment.
Yeah, that is so true. Because I think we sometimes do try to stop things, or we try to rewind them, or and we try to be perfect all the time. And sometimes, like you talked about, frame and reframing. There are you know, we are human too, and to acknowledge the fact that we are going to take and maybe have those missteps, like we were talking about writing. Well, you know, some days you write, some days you're not able to write, or some days, you know, you eat better
that day instead or something. You might want to do something
right.
else.
Right.
Yeah. And I think
there's all a plan.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we're forward flowing people. You know, we're moving forward. And so, you know, the past is really cool. I have a lot of awesome pictures and everything. But, you know, it's funny to me. One of the things that I noticed in the past few years is that some of the pictures that I like of just myself personally, just here I am, I've got my kids in there with me. And
awesome.
You can't fake that you're that age because the kids are that, you know, they can't. It's like, oh, yeah, that's a picture of me from 10 years ago. So
right.
It's really cute, yeah, because the kids are, you know, 6 feet tall now. And, you know, yeah, it'd be great to be that young again, but you're just not. And I get a kick out of looking at some of the older pictures. And, it's proof of time.
Yeah. But it's a beautiful thing, too.
Oh yeah,
it's a beautiful thing because sometimes I think, you know, it just reminded me when you said that of, you know, my mom lived to be 82, and people are like, oh, you know, she passed, and you know, how old was she? And I thought, but she was able to live 82 years.
That's awesome.
And she was able to do amazing things in her life that she never dreamed of. So, you know, taking that with us too, and saying, okay, well, I'm X amount of age now. You know, I'm 43, and saying, oh, wow, you know, all of the things that I've been able to do, and guess what? All of the things that I get to still do.
Yeah.
And owning that and, you know, and celebrate it, you know, celebrate the past and the future and the present, especially.
Lots to celebrate.
Before, it is. I mean, life is amazing, and it's something to be savored, I think. But one of the things I want to talk about for the listeners, which I love this chapter, this section of your book, which I just thought you had just touched on it just a few minutes ago, was humor. I want you to share about what would Betty White do?
Oh, I love Betty White. Yeah, Betty White cracks me up. You know, I don't know her personally or anything like that, and I did get some permission from her office to put her in the book and things like that, but I didn't have like a Betty White chat like I wanted to have. That didn't happen yet, but Betty, if you're listening, no, I'm just kidding. See, there you go. But, you know, and I've got books on Betty White, and you know I've read. I think there's just about everything you could read about Betty White, and watched everything just about Betty White that you could watch. And to me, she is she's sort of fearless. And what I love about her is she's maneuvered with her age and gotten funnier and funnier. She touches places in our hearts that she's just timeless. She's absolutely timeless. And in all of that, I bet if you knew her personally, there's a lot of determination, a lot of humor, a lot of focus, consistency, all these things that make you in awe of Betty White, including health and well-being and all the things she is. So I just admire her, and I often, when I've had struggles in my life and not the health ones, I won't say I've gone, well, I wonder what Betty White would do, but just moments where I'm like, yeah, I didn't write that day or boy, I find humor in that or whatever. I say, what would Betty White do? And it lightens it up. Not that I exactly need the answer of what exactly she would do, but it just reminds me personally that everything's not that serious, especially with my children, you know. If they get a C, the world isn't going to end. you know, those types of things. She helps me keep my perspective.
Yeah, I love that in the book that you talk about that, because it's reminded me too. It's like when I read that, I thought, you know what? It allows you to take a breath.
Yeah.
I think that's what, you know, I got from it. I was like, you know what? When I am just frustrated about something, and it could be, like you say, something kind of minor, you know, I'm stuck in traffic, I'm running a little late, and it's not major, but maybe like 1 or 2 minutes, and you start getting a little anxious. You're like,
yeah.
I'm like, you know what? Okay, just take a breath. You know,
you
what would she do?
It.
Right. She'd be like, oh, you know, this is funny, or whatever it is, and just taking that breath and that moment. And sometimes what I've thought to do, too, is taking that moment, instead of being frustrated, say, okay, you know what? It's not going to be, like you said, the end of the world. And guess what? I can sit here in this moment while I'm waiting and say something in gratitude.
Yeah, and traffic's kind of funny if you look around. People are singing and dancing in their car, picking their nose. You know, it's hysterical what people do when they're in traffic if you look around.
Oh,
I mean, there's humor everywhere.
Right, exactly. I would be one of the singers. I do sing in my car. Yeah, a little.
Yeah. Maybe, have you ever looked
little,
over
you know,
and caught somebody catching you singing
out
in your car?
Right. And I just keep going.
So
I'm just like, yeah.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know, come on, let's do this, you know. Let's jam on.
Bon Jovi.
You know.
Yeah, whatever, yeah.
Right.
Exactly. So,
oh my goodness.
You know, in those moments where you can say that, I say go for it. You know, what would Betty White do? And hopefully one day she'll answer us, because she cracks me up.
That would be awesome.
She's
you'll
so
have to
funny.
You'll have to let us know if she does.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. You know, that would be great. Tell the Best Ever You community and everybody, just like be like, hey, guess what?
Betty,
talk to Betty White.
Exactly. Mm,
that would
funny.
Be awesome. Well, before we go, I wanted to have you share with the listeners about the Best Ever You community and about where they can, of course, get the book Percolate, and just about maybe some programs or events or anything that you want to share with the listeners, you know,
sure.
About your website and all that goodies.
We'll be brief. Percolate is wherever books are sold, and it's sold at Target, too, so that's kind of cool to have Target and Barnes & Noble and Books A Million and, you know, all those places. Wherever books are sold, you can go in and find Percolate, ask for it if it's not on the shelf. And the Best Ever You community is on Facebook. It's just a group, Best Ever You, and not just a group. It's a group of, like, over 3,000 people that are all amazing. And it is such a group that celebrates each other's successes. Or when you're having a challenging day, you can post in there, like, I don't feel well, and the world will arrive. It's just the coolest group of people. And then the website for that is besteveryou.com. What else? I'm at Best Ever You. I'm on Twitter at Best Ever You, on Facebook, Best Ever You, and just, you know, I have a blast meeting everybody. I really, really enjoy meeting people and connecting people to each other. It's such fun.
It is. It's a really great community. I'm a part of it, and I've really enjoyed meeting and connecting with these amazing people. What I wanted to ask you, though, before we leave is, are you having any programs or events or book signings that you want to share with the listeners, too, for Percolate? Or some, you know, programs or?
Yeah, I'm working on them. I did on Blog Talk Radio, I did a 50-minute free audio called Brew Your Best Life, and I taped that on January 1st, and so that's a free download that people can get, and I'm about to put that on the website and so forth. We, as a mom of four boys, one of the things that I don't do is run around the country doing book tours and book signings. My children need me here at home. So every once in a while I'll pop out and do one, but I don't have any scheduled as right now. I tend to just do interviews from home and things like that. But we've got some things working with coffee shops in the new year that we'll be doing. And if somebody wants me to come to their community for a book signing, I would be happy to do that. But I baseball season starts up and we've got a kiddo that plays baseball around the country. And sometimes we do book signings with that. But being a mom of four boys, it becomes hard sometimes to just go off and do book signings. But so I do my best from home. Yeah.
I want to thank you, Elizabeth, for being on my show. It has been such a blast. I thank the listeners for joining us today and being here for the first episode of Inspiration Nation. It has been phenomenal, and more to come in 2015. Thank you guys so much. And remember, be the inspiration that you wish to see in the world. Thanks again, Elizabeth, for being here, too.
Thank you so much, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thanks, everyone.